The story I'm going to tell you happened a great many years ago, so it's well to hear it now before it's forgotten. The Emperor's palace was the most beautiful in the world, built entirely of porcelain and very costly, but so delicate and brittle that whoever touched it was obliged to be careful. And in the garden were the most beautiful flowers with silver bells, which tinkled so everyone who passed could not help but notice them. Everything in the garden was remarkable. Those who travelled beyond the garden's limits knew that there was a noble forest with lofty trees sloping down to the deep blue sea, and great ships sailed under the shadow of its branches. And in one of these trees lived a nightingale who sang so beautifully that even the poor fisherman, who had so many other things to do, would stop and listen. Sometimes, when they went at night to spread their nets, they would hear her sing and say, "Oh, is not that beautiful?" But when they returned to their fishing, they forgot the bird till the next night, and then they would hear it again. Travellers from every country in the world came to the city of the emperor to see him and the palace and the gardens. But when they heard the nightingale, they all declared it to be the best of all. And the travellers, when they returned home, related what they'd seen. Learned men wrote books containing descriptions of the town, the palace, the gardens. But the nightingale was the greatest wonder. And those who could write poetry composed beautiful verses about it. The books travelled all over the world, and some of them came into the hands of the emperor. And he sat in his golden chair, and as he read, he nodded his approval every moment, for it pleased him to find such a beautiful description of his city, his palace, and his gardens. But when he came to the words, "The nightingale is the most beautiful of all," he exclaimed, "What's this? I know nothing of a nightingale. Is there such a bird in my garden? I've never heard of it." Then he called one of his lords-in-waiting and asked him a question. "There is a wonderful bird mentioned here called a nightingale," said the emperor. "They say it's the best thing in my kingdom. Why have I not been told of it?"
"I've never heard the name. She has not been presented at court," said the man.
"It is my pleasure that she shall appear before me this evening," said the emperor. "The whole world knows what I possess better than I do myself."
"I've never heard of her, but I will endeavour to find her," said the servant.
But where was the nightingale to be found? The nobleman went upstairs and down, but nobody he met had heard of the bird. So he returned to the emperor and said, "It must be a fable. Your imperial majesty cannot believe everything contained in books. Sometimes they're only fiction." "But the book in which I've read this account," said the emperor, "was sent to me by the great and mighty emperor of Japan, and therefore it cannot lie. I will hear the nightingale. She must be here this evening. She has my highest favour, and if she does not come, the whole court shall be trampled upon after supper is ended." cried the lord-in-waiting, and he ran up and down stairs through all the halls and corridors, and half the court ran with him, for they didn't like the idea of being trampled upon. At last they met with a poor girl in the kitchen. "Oh, yes, I know the nightingale quite well. Indeed, she can sing. Every evening I have permission to take home to my poor sick mother the scraps from the table. She lives down by the seashore. And as I come back, I feel tired. I sit down in the wood to rest and listen to the nightingale's song. Tears come into my eyes, and it's just as if my mother kissed me." "Little maiden," said the lord-in-waiting, "I will obtain for you constant employment in the kitchen, and you shall have permission to see the emperor dine if you will lead us to the nightingale. She's invited to the palace this evening." So she went to the wood where the nightingale sang, and half the court followed her. And as they went along, a cow began lowing. "Oh," said one of the young servants, "now we've found her. Oh, what wonderful power for such a small creature. I've certainly heard it before." "That's only a cow lowing," said the little girl. "We are a long way from the place yet." Then some frogs began to croak in the marsh. "Oh,
bells," said the young servant. "Now I hear it tinkling like little church bells." "No, those are frogs, but I think we shall soon hear her now." And presently the nightingale began to sing.
"Hark, there she is," said the girl. "And there she sits," she added, pointing to a little grey bird perched on a bough.
"Is it possible?" said the lord-in-waiting.
"I never imagined it would be such a plain, simple thing like that. She's certainly changed colour at seeing so many grand people around her."
"Little nightingale," cried the girl, "our most gracious emperor wishes you to sing before him."
"Oh, with the greatest pleasure," said the nightingale, and began to sing most delightfully.
"Oh," said the lord-in-waiting, "it sounds like tiny glass bells. Oh, see her little throat working. It is surprising we've never heard this before. She will be a great success at court."
"Shall I sing once more before the emperor?" asked the nightingale, who thought he was present.
"Oh, my excellent little nightingale," said the servant, "I have the greatest pleasure of inviting you to come to court at the palace this evening, where you will gain imperial favour by your charming song."
"Oh, my song sounds best in the green wood," said the bird.
But still, she came willingly when she heard the emperor's wish.
The palace was decorated for the occasion. Everything glittered in the light of a thousand lamps. Beautiful flowers stood in the corridors, and the little bells around the flowers tinkled so loudly no one could speak to be heard.
In the centre of the hall, a golden perch had been fixed for the nightingale to sit on. The whole court was present, and the little kitchen maid had received permission to stand by the door. All were in full dress, and every eye turned to the little grey bird when the emperor nodded to her to begin. The nightingale sang so sweetly, tears came into the emperor's eyes and rolled down his cheeks, as her song became still more touching and went to everyone's heart. The emperor was so delighted. He declared the nightingale should have his gold slipper to wear around her neck. But she declined the honour with thanks. She had been rewarded enough already. "I've seen tears in an emperor's eyes," she said. "That is a rich reward. An emperor's tears have wonderful power." And then she sang again, more enchantingly than ever. "This singing is a lovely gift," said the ladies. And they took water in their mouths to make them utter gurgling sounds of the nightingale when they spoke to anyone, so they might fancy themselves nightingales. She was now to remain at court, to have her own cage, with liberty to go out twice a day and once during the night. 12 servants were appointed to attend to her, who each held her by a silken string fastened to her leg. So there was not much pleasure in flying. The whole city spoke of the wonderful bird, and when two people met, one said, "Nighting," and the other said, "Gale," and they understood what was meant, for nothing else was talked about. One day, the emperor received a large packet on which was written, "The Nightingale." "Oh, here's no doubt a new book about our celebrated bird," said the emperor. But it was not a book. It was a work of art contained in a box. An artificial nightingale made to look like a living one, covered with diamonds and rubies and sapphires. And as soon as the artificial bird was wound up, it could sing like the real one and move its tail up and down, which sparkled with silver and gold. Round its neck was a ribbon on which was written, "The Emperor of Japan's nightingale is poor compared with that of the Emperor of China's."
"Oh, this is very beautiful," said everyone who saw it. And he who had brought the bird received the title of Imperial Nightingale Bringer in Chief. "Now they must sing together," said the court. "What a duet!" But they did not get on well. The real nightingale sang in its own way, but the artificial bird sang only waltzes.
"Oh, that's not a fault," said the music master. "It's quite perfect to my taste." So then the false bird had to sing alone and was successful as the real bird, and much prettier to look at. 33 times did it sing the same tunes without being tired. The people would gladly have heard it again. But the emperor said the living nightingale ought to sing something.
But where was she?
No one noticed. She had flown out of the open window, back to her own green woods.
"What strange behaviour," said the Emperor, when her flight had been discovered, and all the servants blamed her and said she was very ungrateful.
"But we have the best birds," said one, and then they would have the bird sing again.
The music master praised the bird in the highest degree and said it was better than a real nightingale.
After this, the real nightingale was banished from the empire and the artificial bird placed in a silk cushion close to the emperor's bed. The presents of gold and precious stones which had been received with it were round the bird, and it was now given the title Little Imperial Singer. So a year passed, and the emperor and all the other Chinese knew every turn in the artificial bird's song, and it pleased them even better. They could sing with the bird. And the emperor himself could sing it also. It was most amusing.
One evening, when the bird was singing its best, and the emperor lay in bed listening to it, something inside the bird sounded whizz, and a spring cracked. Whirr went all the wheels running round, and then the music stopped. The emperor sprang out of bed. He called for his physician. But what could he do? They sent for a watchmaker, and after talking and examination, the bird was put into something like order, but must be used very carefully as it was getting worn, and it would be impossible to put in new ones without injuring the music. So there was great sorrow. The bird could only be allowed to play once a year.
5 years passed, and a real grief came on the land. The Chinese were very fond of their emperor, and he now lay so ill he was not expected to live. A new emperor had been chosen, and the people who stood in the street asked the servants how the old emperor was. Cold and pale lay the emperor in his bed. The whole court thought he was dead. Everyone ran away to pay homage to his successor. But the emperor wasn't dead, although he lay white and stiff on his gorgeous bed. A window stood open. The moon shone in upon the emperor and the artificial bird. The emperor, finding he could scarcely breathe with a strange weight in his chest, opened his eyes and saw death sitting there. He put on the emperor's golden crown and held in one hand his sword of state and in the other his beautiful banner.
"I need music," shouted the emperor. "Little precious golden bird, sing, pray sing. I've given you gold and presents. I've sewn my golden slipper round your neck. Sing."
But the bird remained silent. There was no one to wind it up, and it could not sing a note. Death continued to stare at the emperor with his cold, hollow eyes. The room was fearfully still. Suddenly, there came through the open window the sound of sweet music. Outside, on the bough of a tree, sat the living nightingale. She had heard of the emperor's illness and had come to sing to him of hope and trust. And as she sung, the shadows grew paler. The blood in the emperor's veins flowed more rapidly and gave life to his limbs, and Death himself listened and said, "Go on, little nightingale, go on. Then will you give me the beautiful golden sword and that rich banner? And will you give me the emperor's crown?" said the bird. So Death gave up each of those treasures for a song, and the nightingale continued her singing. She sang of the quiet churchyard, where the elder tree wafts its perfume, and the fresh, sweet grass. And Death longed to go and see this garden, and floated out through the window. "Thanks, heavenly little bird. I banished you from my kingdom once," said the emperor, "yet you've charmed away the evil faces from my bed and banished death from my heart. How can I reward you?"
"You have," said the nightingale. "I'll never forget I drew tears from your eyes the first time I sang. These are the jewels that rejoice a singer's heart. But now sleep, grow strong. I will sing to you again." And as she sung, the emperor fell into a sweet sleep, and how mild and refreshing it was. And he awoke, strengthened and restored. The sun shone brightly through the window. But not one of his servants had come back. They believed he was dead. Only the nightingale still sat beside him and sang. "Oh, you must always remain with me," said the emperor.
You shall sing only when it pleases you, and I will break the artificial bird into a thousand pieces. Oh, no, replied the nightingale. The bird did very well as long as it could. Keep it here. I cannot live in the palace and build my nest, but let me come when I like. I will sit in a bough outside your window in the evening and sing to you, so that you may be happy and have thoughts full of joy. But you must promise me one thing. Everything, said the emperor, who had dressed himself in his robes and stood with the hand that held the heavy golden sword pressed to his heart. I only ask one thing, she replied. Let no one know that you have a little bird who sings to you in the evening. It will be best to conceal it. And so saying, the nightingale flew away. And the servants who came in to look after the dead emperor found that he stood, and to their astonishment said, Good morning.